Get something or whatever. Don't be bashful.
Thank you.
Okay. Yashar Koach. All right.
No, I'm fine. First, thank you, everybody, for coming. I'm sorry that I showed up 45 minutes late. Thank my daughter, Zeuser, she's in Ariel. The only one that gets with the Shabbos. Of course, they tell you that her event will be at 8 o'clock, and they don't finish until 9:20, so you know how it is. I'm glad everybody should be able to make it. I'm glad that David and Alan are able to be here, and should be... only ask Neshama for your father, all of our words and your words, and only your good things. Okay. I'm going to try to do this with my notes here on the computer as best as I can, and hopefully it will not be that long. I'm going to try to keep it relatively short.
Would it be easier for a chair to put the computer on?
Probably not. This is higher up, so it's actually probably easier. Okay, just you see me looking at, glancing at this every few minutes. You'll understand why. Okay. So my topic is the privilege of practical scenarios about Kedusha Shvi's. So Rav Orlian made my job a little bit easier, and he's already touched on a number of the points. So this is not going to be a big shear. There's a lot of halachas that have to do with Kedusha Shvi's. Some of you may have read in some of the books. It's extensive. It's probably the biggest chapter in many of the books, is these halachas. So what I'm going to do is just review quickly some of the one or two of the basic halachas and give you a bunch of scenarios that are relevant to our topic, and maybe even most importantly, is just give a little bit of a hashkafic perspective that I've begun to adopt over the past couple months, mostly based on Rav Rimon here. Many of you have his book either in Hebrew or in English. We'll start with the hashkafic perspective, and it goes like this. There's a lot of options, as we know, we've heard about already, of things to eat during Shemitah. We have Heter Mechira, we have non-Jewish produce, we have detached produce, Matzah Menutak. We have Southern Arava produce, a number of other things. And we have Kedushat Shvi, which is otherwise known as Otsar Beitin, which I'm not going to go into now to explain that. Hopefully Rav Orlian covered that a little bit. I'm familiar with it already. Question is, many of us don't really jump towards the mitzvah of eating Kedushat Shvi's produce, even though we might do it a little bit here and there. But it's hard. It's challenging to be able to make sure that everything that you do with the food is the proper fulfillment of the halachos of making sure that you don't waste it improperly. So because of that sort of creates an environment. Well, we get this and we get that and we get that, and Kedusha Shvi'as, well, maybe if we have no other choice, we'll get that also. And I think there's two reasons, which again, Rav Orlian already alluded to a little bit, but two basic reasons why I think we can turn the tables on that and look at Kedusha Shvi'as as a very positive option if possible. Number one, again, maybe it was mentioned already, we've mentioned it in past discussions, past Shiurim, is that some of the other options are not necessarily the greatest of options. Every option in Shemitah has its challenges, advantages, and disadvantages. But when you look at the main ones, the main options, again, mentioned this a little bit already, but Heter Mechira is the main option. Not agreed on by everybody, it's a bit controversial. Buying non-Jewish produce is also a bit controversial, not necessarily for as much halachic reasons, but maybe more for political and other reasons. You see what's going on in this country over the past couple months, and you wonder, am I supporting all the people that are going and trying to stab and to shoot and whatever? And the answer is not 100% yes, but it's a big question. It definitely is possible that many people that you're buying from, if you're buying from non-Jewish produce, may be in some form possibly supporting some of these terrorist activities. Again, I'm not sure, but that's definitely a question to think about. So that's the negative side. That maybe Kedusha Shvi'as is positive in that, as Rulian mentioned, you're supporting Jewish farmers, and maybe it's better than some of the other approaches to some degree. Number two, on the positive side, the idea of eating Kedusha Shvi'as is really a special privilege. And this is what Rav Rimon really talks about this a lot, if you want to read in his book. Basically, what he develops is the idea that Kedusha Shvi'as is very positive, in that Eretz Yisrael, during Shemitah, is a very, very holy environment. And the product of the land, the payroll, the fruit that come from Eretz Yisrael during the Shemitah year, have that Kedusha. That's why they're called Kedusha Shvi'as. So basically what he says he says that really we should look at it as a schut, as a special privilege to be able to eat Kedusha Shvi'as. And he says, the way he phrases it, just let's hear for a second. He basically says that we should be happy to do this together with the challenges that it entails, and we should yearn for the moment that we can eat Kedusha Shvi. It's eloquent Hebrew, that's how he phrases it. So basically, what you have here is a special zechut based on the fact that we have a lot of limitations. Kedusha Shvi, that engenders the Kiddusha, the same way that everything else in Judaism, you only have, as Rashi points out in Parshas, I think it's Parshas Achrimos, that only when you have limitations and you have restrictions, that creates an environment of holiness. Holiness doesn't come without the borders, without you can't do this and can do this. That's exactly what being Kiddusha, what Kiddusha is, according to many opinions. So here also, the fact that we have certain limitations, we can't do this and we can't do that, you got to be careful, watch what you eat, watch what you throw out, that creates a certain element of Kiddusha. But in this version, it's basically, it's a positive, it's a special privilege to be able to say, wow, I have the opportunity to go and to do this, to say I'm going to be careful about what I do with my food, even more than usual here in Eretz Yisrael. I'm going to skip some of this stuff here because we don't have time. But basically, just my personal perspective on this was that I wasn't sure if I could do this. We have a lot of little kids, and we weren't sure whether we really could handle all the restrictions. And at some point, I sort of, hearing from all these people that kept telling me, well, if you're eating, non-Jewish stuff, you're really, it's really bad. You're really supporting all these terrorists. So I began to think, well, maybe they're right. I don't know. Hetzer Mechira didn't sound so appetizing. But again, I'm not saying that either one is horrible and either one is completely forbidden. Obviously not. But, I was wondering, maybe we should try a little harder to do some of this stuff with Kedusha Shvius. My wife, of course, was not so into it because she's like, what are you going to do with all the things that fall on the floor when my 1.5-year-old starts taking his banana and his this and that and starts mashing it and cutting it and squeezing it and throwing it all over the place? And she's like, that's not great. I said, okay, let's see what we can do. Okay, so I looked into it a little more in terms of the halachos, which I'll share in a few minutes, some of them. And also, they have to think about maybe if we give our kids the proper perspective on it and, we're careful about how we make it and how we prepare it, how we serve it, how we throw it out, maybe we could do this. So basically, again, I'll share with you as we go on a little more, but for now, I'll just tell you that what I did with the kids, basically, was I made it very exciting for them. I said, this is a really exciting opportunity. If you can go out and buy kadosh fruits, a special kedusha, a special privilege of eating these things, then we get a special, again, maybe it's a mitzvah, maybe it's not, really mentioned that already, but either way, a special privilege. So I surprised my family one Friday afternoon. I went to the Torah Chaim store. Again, I think you mentioned this already. There's two main places you can get Kedusha Shmi stuff here, either from the Torah Chaim Shmita store or from Otzar Haaretz if you order from the guy that comes once a week. Did you mention any more than that? Anyway, that basically from there. So I bought a couple of things from the Torah Chaim store. I bought some zucchinis and maybe some cucumbers or whatever. So I brought out the soup Friday night. I make the soup that week, actually. Usually it's Mira makes it, but sometimes I make it. So I brought out the soup that week to the deal. I said, I have a special surprise here, guys. Surprise! Kadosh, Kedusha soup. So I said, your soup this week is Kadosh. So I told everybody, you guys have a special privilege. Eating any part of the soup that you eat is a special privilege. And guess what? The kids were really excited. And you know what? We were very careful. I'm going to mention this again, but basically told everybody, make sure to not take more than you want. Okay, how much will you eat? Don't take too much. Which vegetables do you want? Don't give you, five different things. Only tell me the ones that you're going to eat. Are you going to eat chicken? Are you going to eat the cucumbers? Not cucumbers, the zucchini, sorry. The potatoes, whatever it was in the soup, which again, as we'll say, all becomes, kadosh. And they did it. It was amazing. Every single one of them ate more vegetables than they usually do, that and cucumbers or whatever. And they all finished each, their bowls to the last drop. Couldn't believe it. We had leftover soup in the fridge for a few days. We'll get to that in a minute. But it was an amazingly successful experiment. So we repeated it again, this time with pizza. Okay, we got peppers and whatever for our pizza. We made it at home. And, we didn't buy it. We made it at home with the dough. And said, we have holy pizza now, Kadosh pizza. And guess what? They did exactly what they needed to do. And even my son, who's 1.5, so he knows that our books are kadosh. He pulls the sarm off the shelf. He says, kadosh, kadosh, and he throws it on the floor like that. So I give him a new opportunity now. I took him to the store and said, Natal, guess what? Look at this pepper. It's kadosh. And guess what he knows now? The minute we go to the store, he says, kadosh peppers. And then he says, kadosh. So he's learned since then. Thank God. He's learned his lesson. So, but it really, I've been amazingly surprised that it's been a terrific experience so far. I've been with its challenges, obviously, but overall, I'd say that it was really, the kids, as I said, the kids have eaten more vegetables in the past month or so than they ate every time before that because they enjoyed the experience of having something holy. With that in mind, just review very, very quickly a couple of the halachos. Again, we mentioned before a little bit about where to get Kedusha Shvius from fruits from produce from here in Yad Binyamin. Also, again, we know already, I think probably you mentioned this already, now, this time of year, still the vegetables are Kedusha Shvius. Soon many of the vegetables will be forbidden based on Svichim, so they will not be Kedusha Shvius or Otzer Beis Din anymore. There's still a few that will be for the next few months. At some point, the fruit will be. But again, however it goes, throughout the year, there will be different foods that are Kadosh with Kedusha Shvius. And basically, this is a bar from the Kaplan's, but this is one Shemitah chart, which tells you the different dates and the different foods. It's really quite terrific. They also have here, I'm not going to go through this now, but they have a nice chart here of the status of its peel for each one, the status of the pits and seeds, can you peel it, how can you eat it, may it be squeezed, blended, mashed, and comments. It's actually very, very helpful. I actually don't know where they got this from, because I don't have one. It says on the bottom here. Yeah, is it the same one, though? Is this one that she was in?
Yeah.
Okay,
fine.
Okay, so again, I'm not going to go through the details of each food, pits and this and that, because that basically the chart basically covers it.
And when it takes effect for them.
Yeah. So it's not there all in the season. Correct. This is from Rabbi Mon from the Halacha Center, which I actually worked for, but of course they didn't give me a free copy. I think they gave money and I didn't. I get money.
Who's Katif? From Katif? Yeah,
Job Katif and whatever. So I actually don't have a copy, even though I worked for him. But basically he's got a calendar, and at each month he shows you with pictures and signs which things are starting to be Kedushat Shvi'is, and at what point where you have a concern of Sfichin, which basically means that if you, you know, again, without getting into details now, if you're Machmer and Heter Mechira, so after that date you wouldn't want to get them from the Heter Mechira stock anymore. And again, you know, other aspects related to that, but it's again very, very nice, very easy to read. They have both Hebrew and English here, and the signs here with the little pictures. It's very, very nice. So either one, you can figure out everything that you need to know in terms of your times. Okay. Now, the two basic rules. Okay, there's a lot of rules, obviously, which we're not going to go to now. The two basic rules for us mostly are the following. Number one, as probably know already, you have to prepare it in certain ways. You cannot prepare it in unusual methods of preparation. Again, examples that we all know, it means things that are usually raw, you can't eat cooked, and things which are cooked, you can't eat raw. There are a lot of details. The bottom line is that usually anything which a large group of people do eat in a certain way, even if not everybody does that, even if not everyone does it in their house, but they would do it in their house if they had the food or whatever. So most of those cases, you can assume that that's fine, but there are some, you know, cases where maybe it's not fine. That chart is very, very helpful in helping to identify different things. Anything that you have that's a little radical, well, somebody asked once, or Daniel and I were talking about this earlier today, somebody was asking about bananas, making either mashed drinks or smoothies or milkshakes or things like that. So those kind of things, again, I said, I'm not a good person to ask because I don't know what people do. And so my impression is maybe it's not the best thing to make because there may not be a large amount of people that do it. Maybe not, again, you're looking for either a majority of people or at least the majority of people in your area that would do it even if they don't actually do it, but it's normal for them. I wasn't sure. I found on this chart, he said that those things are not okay. For bananas, you can mash it for a baby. But things like that, he felt, is not considered to be enough of a common thing yet. But again, it could be that one could disagree with that. Again, I don't know. But it's possible that in some places, maybe it is very, very popular to make certain kinds of drinks like that. And, you know.
Raphael was my turn.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah?
Okay, so again, I don't know. Maybe he knows his constituency better. I have no idea. But if most of you tell me that most people would be willing, even if you don't do it, but you would be willing to make a drink like that or a smoothie or something, then I say, okay, fine. You know, then that's changed. 10 years, 7 years ago may not have been true, but maybe today it is. Okay, so again, you know, that's number one. Again, there's a lot of other issues also we're not going to go into now. Most people hold today that squeezing fruits and making drinks or vegetables, even making drinks out of them from anything which is a normal drink to make today, which is many drinks, is usually okay. But again, that's some discussion also. There are some folks who answer that, but most people hold that that's okay today, depending on what you're making. Most things today you can allow. There's one or two other things also, which I'm not going to go into now, but some people say that you can't eat achila gasa. You can't eat shemitah, kedusha shvi'is fruit on a very full stomach. Meaning if you're like completely full, but you don't really want to eat anymore, and you decide to stuff yourself, some achronim say that's also a violation of the kedusha shvi'is aspect of these fruits. So be careful with that. Again, it doesn't mean if you're full and you want to eat dessert. It means if you're really full and like, I'm so stuffed, I can't eat another, you know, I can't eat anything else, then it could be that you have to be careful about that. Those are basically the main points. Now, as a question, just a quick question, I'll take a minute or two if anybody has. Yeah.
I just want to, I guess, just think there was a posting on the list last week by, I think, Eve Lev about a Shemitah tour. I just want to let everyone know that. I think it's December 26th, Friday, December 26th. Just tell you, it looked very interesting. It's in Maskeret Batya.
Oh, okay.
It's on a Friday morning. It's after Hanukkah.
There it is.
And Rabbi Haber is leading it. But I thought it was Rabbi...
From formerly from MLA.
Oh, yeah.
He's doing Shemitah tours. So,
oh,
so
very nice.
Sense.
Okay.
So if anyone wants to look at it, just look at it.
Okay, great. Okay. My daughter went there. I think she said it was very good. All right. Now, let's just focus a little more on the second one, which is basically the method of disposing of Shemitah fruit. So this is really the main issue. Again, there's a lot of discussion about this, but in short, we know already that there's a Gemara that says that you're supposed to eat Shemitah fruit, but you're not supposed to waste it. The question is, what's considered to be waste? So essentially what they say is, we know already that you're not supposed to let things get ruins or rot in a quicker way than they would have naturally, which basically means if you step on it, if you put it in the garbage and it gets smashed and it gets ruined directly based on what you did, so that's problematic. Based on that, so that's why we say that there's supposed to be some method of disposing of it which maintains the naturalness of the fruit or vegetable, now it's really more vegetables, without getting ruined. So that's why, again, there's two options here. The main option that most people have is what's called a pach shmita, get a little garbage can or something like that, you can make nice pictures on it or whatever, but basically you put your Kedusha Shviya stuff in there so that it doesn't get ruined in the regular garbage. You put it in the regular garbage, either, number one, it's going to get ruined, okay, it's going to get smashed by other things and not edible anymore, or number two, even if it's still edible, but no person is going to actually go into their garbage and start eating things that were in there, which also, halakhically, according to most opinions, is also considered to be a violation of the Kedusha Shviyas. The other option that some posts can allow also is not only putting it in a special pach, but if you put it in the actual garbage, but you close it up, you seal it up in a plastic bag. Okay, again, some posts are not as thrilled with that option, but according to many posts, that is a viable option. So for things that you wanted to use Kedusha Shviyas for, and it's too difficult for whatever reason to put in your pach, so that's definitely an option that many posts would say that you can do. Just make sure to put it in a sealable bag and put it in the garbage, and then, again, you know, anything that happens after that is not direct, and many posts hold that indirect ruining of vegetables is not a problem. Okay, now, let's go on here. There are more details, which I'm not going to get into now, in terms of how exactly to work your pach. Most people say that it's best to try to separate between different days. If you have something from one day, it's best to separate it in some form from your fruit that you put in tomorrow so that the ones from today don't end up ruining the ones from tomorrow before its proper time. So you have some sort of layer of separation between them. If you want to use different bags, or Ramon suggests putting a little newspaper type of thing in between the different layers. Again, it's not absolute, but it seems like it might be a good idea if there's a way to separate between the different days as much as possible. The different opinions of how long to wait, depends on the fruit and the vegetable, really. You wait 3 days, you're probably most definitely fine. Some say even after 1 or 2 days, depending on what it is, you can already throw it out afterwards in the normal garbage once it's already ruined. The point is you're letting it rot normally without trying to speed up the process of rotting artificially. Okay. A couple points here, and this is where we're going to have to cut out most of the stuff here. In terms of cooking, so this is where we had a lot of our interesting questions, was in terms of cooking things. So the rule, again, as we mentioned before, the rule is that if you cook something with Kedusha Shviyas together with other things, then the whole mixture becomes Kedusha Shviyas. There are a few sources in the Rambam and other places that support that. But again, it makes some interesting challenges when it comes to Shemitah. I mentioned before soup, pizza we had, again, depending on maybe a little later in the year, possibly cholent, depending on, we'll see what happens in the next few months, but possibly potatoes or onions. We had, I think, rice with peppers one time, which was, you know, all cooked together. So again, that's also a shayla, anything which the peppers get cooked with also at least will be partially Kedusha Shviyas. All those things, again, special because you can eat the whole thing as Kedusha Shviyas, not just the actual vegetables themselves. When it comes to salad probably not. And salad, basically, because it's not cooked together, as long as the pieces of vegetable are still identifiable, you can have a salad with cucumbers for Kedusha Shviyas, at least at this time of year, and the rest of it is not, as long as the cucumbers are still distinct in terms of their pieces and their form. So for that, you wouldn't necessarily have to throw out the whole salad. With the pach or whatever other method you do it, you can basically just take the pieces out that are still Kedusha Shviyas and throw out the rest and take those pieces and put them in the pach or again in a plastic bag in your garbage if you so desire. Yeah.
Can you put if it's easier to put the entire salad in?
So yeah, you're allowed to put the whole thing in. Okay, that's allowed, just it may be a little bit more unwieldy if it's very big. If it's too much to fit in a pach shmita, so then you have a question. Either you can take out the pieces of the shmita stuff. The other option is, again, if you want to make them, put the whole thing in the garbage, in a plastic bag, that's also an option.
If it's tomatoes that have seeds that spread around, you can't pick out the big hunks of tomatoes
right
this one. You have to put the whole thing in.
Right, so they basically have to, probably yes. Meaning, yeah, if it's too hard to, we don't really put some of the tomatoes in our salad. Yeah.
I just said that if you have a little bit of juice with seeds, that's
right, so the juice
insignificant.
May, right. So if it's just a couple seeds here and there, you're correct. I mean, it's insignificant and maybe even also batel b'shishim. It could be it's not the biggest deal. If you have bigger pieces,
there's
which...
batel b'shishim kedusha tree?
Yes, there is. It's, okay. I mean, you have to actually have one in 60 that's batel, but if that's the situation, then yeah.
If you cut tomatoes, the cherry tomatoes, they have leftover in the plate, you have a couple little bit of juice and some
right,
seeds.
Right, so I was going to mention that, but yeah.
Right. So those little tiny bits left over in the plate don't have to be
salad. I was actually thinking more, people put strawberries in salad, and sometimes the little white things of the strawberries fall off, but that's definitely batel b'shishim. little white seeds on the outside of strawberries.
I see what you're saying. Probably. Again, you have to know what else is in the salad, but by itself, you know, probably, yeah. Probably, yeah. Okay. In terms of the rest of the story about leftovers, so the best thing, to, again, as I mentioned, the best thing to do to avoid the problems is planning, prior planning. What that means basically is give, number one, when you prepare, don't prepare too much. Prepare what you think people will eat, and even maybe a little less. And it's fine, people will understand if there's not quite as much salad as they would like for every person. If you make sure that it's all finished, that's amazing. That's what happened today at lunch. It was perfect. So we had Kedusha Shvi'ah salad with a bunch of things, and it was great. The whole thing was finished. So that's one thing. Number two, give instructions properly. Your kids, your guests, whoever it is, tell them what it is. Tell them, be careful what you put on your plate. Make sure that you eat. Don't take too much. Think about it first, etc., etc. And often, you know, often that works pretty well without too much difficulty. Okay. In terms of, again, the rest of the leftovers, so as we said before, there are some rooms to make in different situations. Number one, anything which gets disgusting, if your kids take it, they throw it all over the place and they smash it, whatever. So again, halachically, you haven't violated an isur. Okay, so most of the poskim say, as long as you didn't do it directly, you gave it to them and they did whatever they did with it, most poskim hold that that's not usur. I mean, you can do that. Okay, if you know they're going to do it, don't give them too much. But, you know, if you give them some, they eat some, they smash the rest, you know, that's not the worst thing in the world. It's really okay, according to most opinions. Yeah.
While we were in Avilut last week, we were the benefactors of a lot of chesed. And not everybody told us where the vegetables or the fruit were from. Are we supposed to assume it's Kedushat Shvi'ah then, to be safe? Or
good question.
Assume it's not?
Good question.
Most of the produce is
Kedushat. Right. If you have no, I don't know. Tell me if you have, either of you have thoughts about this.
Just double bag everything and throw it out.
There's not, if you wanted to do that, you could, but I don't know if you really have to. If you have no reason to believe that it's Kedushat Shvi'ah, because again, around here, most of the things are not, with a few exceptions. I would assume that you could assume that they're not, and if it was, most people that get Kedushat Shvi'ah stuff, they know to tell you beforehand. I mean, my assumption. Again, if you have any quick more hot res, you can feel free to.
I'm assuming, as I said, that the current, since there isn't that much Kedushat Shvi'ah floating around Yad Binyamin for one reason or another, if you aren't told, you probably can assume that it wasn't. Because
yeah.
The majority
about
of
the
customers
the peels and fruits, for example, avocado or whatever.
Okay, so that I'm not going to get into now. It depends basically on whether it's edible or not. Okay, anything which is edible for
avocado human. Avocado is not yet.
What's that? It's coming soon, though. It's coming soon. Look at the list there. Yeah, look at the list. Okay. I didn't memorize the list, unfortunately.
Kiss
I just got
season.
Was that? Right, that's soon. You look here. You can find it in here. I think it's pretty soon. It'll take a while.
Yeah.
So again, what do you think? Just look at the list there. Again, I did not memorize the list there. So basically, we never eat avocado either. So when they say that it's fine, the avocado kills. If it's not edible for people, then it's fine. You can throw it into the regular garbage. So it's edible for people. What do you think?
What you call those
Some are and some are not. Maybe not.
Well, like
cucumbers
carrots?
Carrots and cucumbers is usually assumed that they are.
Orange.
Okay. Okay, we're not up to oranges yet. We'll talk about that in a few months. But oranges are my focus. Okay, oranges is a bit of a discussion. But you look at the list here, so that you know you can. Most of the things in there are pretty much accepted by everybody, or a few that are a bit of a question, but most of them are pretty straightforward. Anyway, so that's the point. But the rule is basically what's considered to be edible by some people. If people would eat it, then it is. If not, then people wouldn't. Even if an animal would eat it, it's not for now. But you can still put it in your garbage, because even if it's in the garbage, the animal would still eat it, probably. So that's that. Okay, let's quickly move on so we can finish up here. Okay, just a couple other points. So I said before, things that are spilled or ruined or dirty or disgusting, so the halacha is if it's totally, nobody would eat it anymore, then you do not have to treat it with kedushat shvi'ah, you can throw it in the garbage. Okay? Again, it's a significant amount that somebody might keep, even if you wouldn't keep it, but some people that are trying to save their money or save their food might keep it for somebody in the family or whatever, so then you should be machmir, you should put it in the pach. But anything which is totally smashed up or totally ruined, or the same thing on people's plates after a meal, if there's only a small amount left, which is not significant, so that also, which of course is generally accepted that you can throw that out, you do not have to keep that with kedushat shvi'ah, you can get rid of it normally. Okay. All right. What else? Here. So in terms of liquid leftovers, this is a bit of a tricky one with the soup. So again, the best thing to do is don't make too much. But you have leftovers of soup, so what you can do, basically some poskim, the best thing to do is put it in a plastic bag and seal it up in a big plastic bag, which is a Ziploc or whatever, and either put it in your pot or put it in the garbage. That's the best thing. The other options that you have, there are some poskim that are makil, to allow it, if it stays overnight, then you can make it and already throw it out after that. We would make a list of that for chicken soup, because anyway, most people wouldn't want to eat chicken soup after it stayed out overnight, because of the chicken and other things inside. But it was also after being in the fridge for a couple days. Again, there are ways to work this out. If it's been in the fridge for a few days, and then afterwards you leave it out overnight, so there may be more room to be making in that situation. If you just tuck it away in a nice little corner somewhere that nobody will see it, and leave it overnight. So then there is even more room to make it in that point. But again, the best thing to do is not make too much and make sure that people eat, and you won't have that much leftovers in the first place. You'll be left with a minor, a small amount.
I think some posts come out eating soup after Shabbos also.
That's the other thing, right? I should mention that. You're right. So we actually serve the leftover soup in last Shabbos three times during the week. Every time we have Bisari, we serve some leftover soup, and the soup is kadosh. Come help us finish it. And the kids chipped in, and it works. We've almost done. We almost finished the whole thing. Okay, almost. Okay. In terms of a couple, one or two other points. So animal food. This is interesting in terms of animals. Again, a big discussion. The bottom line, again, the basic halacha is that you're not supposed to feed animals, your dogs, for example, foods that you would have eaten that were, that were your foods. So you shouldn't really be given human foods. Should not be given to dogs. That's human use. However, there's a discussion. Let's say that you have leftover food that you're not going to eat. Can you now give it to your dog if you wouldn't have eaten it anyway? Otherwise, it would have gotten discarded. So Rav Rimon is willing to possibly entertain the option of being lenient in that situation. And say if there's nobody else that's going to eat it anymore, and then you put it down, you don't give it to the dog directly, but you put it down over here, and the dog will come right over and eat it up. So it could be there's room to make on that situation. Again, it's not accepted by everybody, but that at least is a possibility that that one can consider, according to some. That's especially true if the food is not so, if humans don't, it's like a little more disgusting than just a regular food that you don't feel like eating. It's actually, a little, it's again, slightly, what they call slightly ma'us, slightly disgusting. In terms of little kids, I think I mentioned this already before. Again, you're allowed to give kids food even if you know that they're gonna ruin some of it. As long as they'll eat a little bit of it, don't give them too much. But you're allowed to give them stuff even if you know that's gonna be an issue afterwards. One or two other issues before we end up. The machlokas about it, not for now, but Yitz asked me to mention this. So can you use oil? That's kedusha shvius for Chanukah lighting. So it's machlokas of poskim. You're allowed to use oil, kedusha shvius, for lighting candles for your own personal benefit. That's allowed. However, chanukah candles is not for benefit. We're not allowed to benefit from them. Mm-hmm. It's aser b'hana. That's what we say in Hanayros Halalo. So therefore, many poskim say that therefore is not allowed to use. But Rosh Hashanah Orbach says that's not really what they mean. When they talk about using oil for benefit, for Shemitah, it means anything that you use for a positive purpose is permissible. And therefore, Rosh Hashanah says you can use Shemitah oil for chanukah candles. One or two other points. There's a discussion about giving non-Jews Shemitah fruit, so produce. So the halacha is that you're not allowed to give non-Jews kedusha shvius produce. However, there may be some room to be made. This came up last week. Some people that were here that were in the process of converting, Midrash Rachel. So there's room to be made about this one, for a few different reasons. We're not going to get into it now, but the best thing to do is if you put it down and you don't actually give it to them, they take it themselves. There's some posts are made based on that you didn't actually give it to them. That's okay. And other poskim also are made kill for a different reason. If they're in your house, they're considered to be your guests. And if they're your guests for a meal, they're considered like your family. And therefore, if you're their family, so then you'd be allowed to give it to them also. It's another svar that I saw in the Achronim to be lenient about that point. So that's in terms of that. In terms of Bora on Shabbos, this is an interesting point, which we don't have time to really get into now. Ramon has a whole section about this. There may be an issue of Borer Kedusha Shvius leftovers from the rest of the leftovers, let's say from the salad. You want to throw out the cucumbers in the salad. So is that a problem of Borer to take them and put them in the pot? This is all discussion. Some folks say it is a problem. Rav Vazner, I think, Rav Yashin maybe say it's a problem. Rav Karel, it's from Rav Raki, felt maybe it's not a problem. A lot of factors involved here also. It's not so pashut. I'm not going to get into it now. There are various reasons why maybe it's not a problem. So again, if there's a way to avoid it, maybe room to be machmir. But Rav Rimon feels that in principle there is room to be makel on that point. Therefore, you'd be allowed to separate kedusha shvius leftovers from other leftovers, especially in certain types of mixtures. Which I don't have time to get into now, but he definitely holds in some cases that it's permissible. Okay, let's just conclude here. Yeah, so the reason why, again, as we mentioned before, it's so important to have Kedusha Shvius stuff is because, in addition to everything we said before, for us it doesn't affect day-to-day life. Shemitah for us is primarily what we see outside and a little bit about what we eat. It's so different than what it used to be and what the farmers go through, and maybe behooves us to identify ourselves with the farmers in some form, at least a little bit, to go out of our way during this year to make things a little more comfortable if we can support Israeli farmers and also experience Shemitah the way that it used to be when most of the things that they used to eat were Kedusha Shvius. I would say it's very, very worthwhile to consider this option very, very seriously if you can find the produce for it and you can make it happen. I'll just conclude with an email that Rav Rimon sent out a month or two ago, which was making its way around different lists. I don't know if anybody here saw it besides me. Tell me if you saw it. But my brother sent it to me from Alon Shvut. He writes the following. He says, I just bought cucumbers and peppers with Kedushat Shviat available at Rami Levi in the Gush and also at the local Makolet with 2 exclamation points. Okay? Maybe it's 1 exclamation point. He says, listen to this. I held a cucumber from Shemitah in my hand and thought about the great privilege we have after thousands of years of exile to return to the land of Israel, to live in the state of Israel, and to eat produce with Kedushat Shviat. Our ancestors, including many of the greatest sages, did not merit this, and Baruch Hashem, we have been blessed with this privilege, which enables us to sense the approaching redemption. I held the cucumber in awe and rejoiced in the great privilege which Hashem has bestowed upon us. I was so moved that I almost dropped it. With Hashem's help, may we merit a year of holiness, morality, and purity. Rav Yosef Tzvi Rimon. Mizrach Hashem, that bracha should come true for us, both with our foods from Kedushat Shviat, with everything else that's going on in the country, and we should have a blessed year with no more sorrow for anybody, and a lot of holiness and purity and spirituality. Yashar Koach.
Yeah, yeah. Stop my belly. Go ahead. Halevis, thank you very much.
If anyone is planning maybe coming tomorrow to the Aliyah Kedra 3 o'clock, please let me know so we can make sure we have a minion. And if there's anyone interested, please have 2 Masechtot left.